16. We'll read the scripture shortly. I want to just warn you in advance, this will be more of a topical message than an expository. I love to do expository preaching, but the Lord laid something else on my heart today. And I want to preface the message this morning with some information and a story that I shared back a few years ago in a previous message. But before I begin, let's have a word of prayer one more time. Father, we thank you again for the day and the opportunity to share your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit will anoint me today and give me freedom to share what you've impressed on my heart and my mind. And Lord, I pray that you'll give everyone here in our virtual audience ears to hear and hearts to receive the engrafted word of God. Father, I pray that when the invitation is given this morning, Lord, that people will respond in faith to the message and to the Master. Lord, I just pray, oh God, do a work here in our hearts today. Thank you for the good crowd. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayer this week for the attendance today. We rejoice in it, and we bless you for it. Now bless the reading and the proclamation of your word this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. For those of you that were here Wednesday night, I'd ask you to pray that the Lord would give us 350 or more today in worship. Well, we have 374 here this morning. And so let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise, would you? It's not on? Well, is it on now? Okay. Since COVID, and we've seen numerous people saved and numerous young couples coming into our church, and we're so thankful. Our virtual audience has increased tremendously, and we're just thankful for what God is doing, and I want you to continue to pray that God will continue to send people here. Now, I want to warn you in advance, if we get many more than this, guess what's going to have to happen? We're going to have to go to the overflow room or either go to two services. So we've done both of those in the past, and I know that you will be willing to do that in the future as God sees fit and God sends us people. So let us be good stewards of those that God is sending us. Over 45 and a half years of pastoral ministry, I've had the... I checked it this morning. Now it's on. I don't know what's going on with it. But over the years of my ministry, I've had the privilege of reading and hearing testimonies of doctors and nurses and individuals who have stood by the bedside of patients and loved ones who were dying. And they would tell some of the things that these loved ones or patients would say. Things that they were seeing and things that they were experiencing. And this morning I want to preface, and by way of introduction, I want to give you a testimony, a factual testimony that came from a medical doctor. And I shared this again. I shared this back a few years ago, but I felt led and impressed to share it again today. And what you're about to hear may be difficult for many of you to believe. But what you're about to hear is factual. Several years ago, Dr. Maurice Rawlings published a book entitled Beyond Death's Door. Dr. Rawlings, a specialist in internal medicine and cardiovascular disease, resuscitated many people who had been clinically dead. Dr. Rawlings, a devout atheist, considered all religion nonsense. And death nothing more than a painless extinction. But something happened in 1977 that radically changed the life of Dr. Rawlings. He was resuscitating a man, terrified and screaming that he was descending into the flames of hell. Now, I want to read a section of that book to you this morning, and I want you to listen carefully as Dr. Rawlings explains what he heard and what he saw from this patient. And I quote, Each time he regained heartbeat and respiration, the patient screamed, "I am in hell." He was terrified and pleaded with me to help him. I was scared to death. Then I noticed a genuinely alarmed look on his face. He had a terrified grimace expressing sheer horror. His pupils were dilated. He was perspiring and trembling. He looked as if his hair was on end. Then still another strange thing happened. He said, "Do you understand? I am in hell. Don't let me go to hell." The man was serious, and it finally occurred to me that he was indeed in trouble. He was in a panic like I'd never seen before. Dr. Rawlings said not one who could have heard his screams and seen the look of terror on his face could doubt for a single minute that he was actually in a place called hell. And for your reference, this came from Maurice Rawlings' Beyond Death's Door by Thomas Nelson Incorporated, 1979, page 3. This was a factual statement from Dr. Rawlings. I've heard about these testimonies throughout the years of my ministry, as I've stated, some about believers, some about unbelievers, some who had good experiences and some who didn't have good experiences, like this particular man. So I want to ask you this morning, is hell real? Do you really believe in a literal hell? Now, I know this is not a popular subject this day and time. I know a lot of pastors avoid preaching on this subject, but this is Bible, and it is something that everyone needs to hear, because hell is real. The man that Dr. Rawlings spoke about in his book, he believed that hell was real or is real. Not only that, but the Word of God teaches us that hell is a real place. Now, I understand that many people do not believe in the existence of a real, literal hell. Dr. H.L. Wilmington, in his book, Wilmington's Guide to the Bible, he makes a statement, and I love this. He says, of all the many doctrines of the Bible, undoubtedly the very first that the unbeliever will deny and the weak believer will question is the doctrine of hell. Satan has accomplished this coveted goal through the following three methods. Number one, through rationalism. And rationalism says there is a God, and therefore there is no God, and therefore there can be no hell. And then secondly, ridicule. Ridicule says there may be a God, but it is silly to speculate about multitudes of disembodied spirits frying in some literal lake of fire somewhere. And then finally, religion. And religion says there is a God, but he is a God of love and therefore would not and could not send anyone to hell. Christian Science Church defines hell as an era of the mortal mind. Jehovah's Witnesses teach that the wicked will just be annihilated. And finally, Mormons believe in hell, but not as an endless existence. But regardless of what people believe, and there are many beliefs in our world, the Bible continually warns of a place called hell. In our text for today, we find one place in Scripture where Jesus gives us a frightening picture of the place called hell. So if you're able and you would you please stand in reverence of the reading of God's Word? And we'll begin reading in Luke chapter 16, verse 19, and read down through verse 31. These are the words of Jesus. There's a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. They which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You may be seated. Thank you. What kind of place is hell? Well, I want to share three things with you this morning, and I hope I could get through this message very quickly. I'm not going to go into great detail. I'm going to give you scriptures to back up what I say, but I'm just going to go through and give you some information about this place called hell. First of all, I want to suggest to you from Scripture that it is a prepared place. Hell is a prepared place. Look, if you would, please, in Matthew chapter 25 for just a moment. Matthew chapter 25. And in chapter 25, Jesus is giving a parable of 10 virgins. He also gives the parable of the talents. And then when you come down to verse 31, Jesus begins to talk about judging the nations. And let's begin reading in verse 31. And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, Lord, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me. Now watch this verse. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Do you see that? Let's continue to read. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer me, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away, watch this, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, for the righteous into life eternal. Notice verse 41, it says, this place of everlasting fire is a prepared place, prepared for the devil and his angels. So we see from this passage that hell was prepared by God himself. It is a prepared place. It wasn't prepared for human beings, it was prepared for the devil and his angels. And you say, well, why is it that God sends people to hell then? If it wasn't prepared for the devil and his angels, why does God send people to hell? And I'll tell you exactly why. It's because that wicked people, unsaved people, are partakers of the devil and his angels in their sin and iniquities and their rebelling against God. So therefore, they have a right to that same punishment that the devil and all of his angels have. The Bible tells us that in God's word that all those who fail to turn from sin and their wickedness and do not trust Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, that they would go to this terrible place of punishment. We say, well, who all will be there? Well, I want to just mention a few to give you scripture references to these. I won't elaborate on them. The Bible describes them as being wicked in Revelation 21:8. the disobedient in Romans 2, 8 and 9, the rejecters of the gospel in Matthew 10, 15, the beast and the false prophet, Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, and those whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life in Revelation 20 and 15. And in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, we find there that God is giving us a word about the great white throne judgment of God and how all the wicked will stand before God and be judged. And he says at the close of that section in verse 15, he says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." In the previous verse, in verse 14, he says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. And so the Bible tells us that there are going to be many whose names are not found written in the Lamb's book of life who will be cast into the lake of fire. We know, according to the Bible and according to Luke 16 in our text this morning, we know of at least one man that is in hell today. You say, do you believe that hell is a place of literal fire and torment? Absolutely, I do. It is in the Word of God. God's Word tells us, Jesus, listen, he talked much about hell. He warned people about hell. He is warning us today about this terrible place that he created for the devil and his angels. And so I submit to you this morning that all of these people will be there along with those that God lists in Revelation 21, verse 8. And here they are. He calls them the fearful, those who are timid and cowards. He refers to the unbelieving, the faithless, the abominable, which means those that are corrupt, murderers, those who commit homicide, the whoremongers, those who are immoral and fornicators. He talks about the sorcerers, those who converse with demons and magicians. He talks about idolaters, worshipers of false gods and money, all liars. All liars, those who are deceitful and false, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so, my dear brethren, hell, number one, is a prepared place for unbelief, for the devil, his angels, and all those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But not only is hell a prepared place, but secondly, hell is a painful place. I want you to look in our text this morning in Luke chapter 16, and I want you to notice the words torment or tormented. Look in verse 23. It says, "And in hell he, the rich man, lift up his eyes and being in torments." Verse 24 says, "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." And then down verse 25, "But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented." And then finally in verse 28, he says, "For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." You understand what that word means? The word torment. It means agony, suffering, torture, pain, misery, and affliction. And according to the scriptures, the torment will be mental. It will be physical, it will be emotional, and it will be eternal. Eternal pain and suffering in this terrible place. The Bible tells us that in this place there is flame and fire. Look in verse 24 of our text. He says very clearly, "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." This man was thirsty. He was suffering. He was being tormented by the literal flame in this place called hell. Listen, there is no way that our minds can get wrapped around what this text is talking about. There's no way that we can comprehend with our minds what kind of place this really is, other than what we read here in the Scriptures. But it is a place of flame and fire. It is a place of punishment, Matthew 25:4. It is a place of destruction, 2 Thessalonians 1:6-10. It is a place of frustration and anger. The Bible says there's going to be the gnashing of teeth by those who are in hell. I've used this illustration before, but every time this happens, I think about this text. Have you ever, you know, I love to take a hot bath, a tub bath. I take a shower most of the time, but I do occasionally like a good hot bath. And have you ever run a tub full of hot water, and it was hotter than you thought it was, and you sat down in that tub of hot water, and it's like, and you're scrubbing your teeth. It's gnashing of teeth. That's what it's going to be like in hell. That's what it is like in hell for those that are there today. And so this is a terrible, terrible place of pain and torment. It's a place of separation. Here in our text, the rich man that died and went to hell was separated from Lazarus that he saw. And listen to this. This is part of the torture of hell. It is being able to see out of hell into the glory of God and where the saints are. He was able to see Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, which is a picture at that time of where the saintly dead would go and be with God. And he could actually see out of hell into heaven and see what he missed. Wanting to send Lazarus back, that old beggar who sat at his gate, he would not give the time of day. He would even feed him from the crumbs of his own table out of all the food that he had in his home. He wanted Lazarus to come back and just put his finger in water. Just give me one drop of water on my tongue. One drop of water is all I ask for I'm tormented in this flame. There's thirst in hell. There is memory and remorse in hell, according to our text. He said he had five brothers. He said, Father Abraham, please, please send someone. Please send Lazarus. Please send someone from the dead to go and tell my five brothers not to come to this place, for I'm tormented. Tell them, Lord. Tell them. He said, no, can't do that. There's a great gulf that God has fixed. When God fixes something, it's fixed. It'll never change. It'll never move. He said there's this great gulf that's fixed between where you are and where we are. No one from where you are can come to where we are, and no one from where we are can go to where you are because of this great gulf that's fixed. So you're separated from all that is good. Oh, Lazarus, he had all the good things. He suffered during his physical life, but you had everything good. You had everything good. You had everything that your heart could desire or would desire. Now, you're tormented. You're suffering. But Lazarus, he's got it made. He's got it made. It is humanly impossible to comprehend the Bible's description of hell. Nothing on earth can compare with it. No nightmare can produce a terror to match that of hell. And I, when I think about that statement, I think about a dear brother in Christ, a man that was instrumental in me coming to know the Lord. Randolph Scott was his name. Randolph went to be home with Jesus last year. He was a powerful preacher of the Word of God. I've never seen a more powerful preacher than Randolph Scott. But he was instrumental in me coming to know the Lord. You know how he came to the Lord? He went to bed one night as a lost man. God revealed hell to him in a dream. Randolph said he fell down by the side of his bed, weeping and crying and begging God not to let him fall off into hell. That was his actual testimony. A dear, dear brother and friend of mine. I knew him for years. He preached revivals for me. Folks, I'm telling you, hell is real, but there's no horror movie that can describe what this place is like. There's no crime scene with all of its blood and gore that could begin to match the horror of this particular place. It will be beyond anything that we have, that people have ever seen or known, or that is humanly imaginable. But those who go to hell will see hell, they will smell hell, they will breathe hell, they will hear hell, and they will feel hell. Because hell is a real place. Not only is it a prepared place, not only is it a painful place, but hell is a permanent place. Permanent place. You see, hell is forever. Except, according to Revelation that we read just a moment ago, let me go back there. Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15. The Bible says that at the great white throne judgment of God, that death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The only time that the rich man that is in hell today, according to Scripture, the only time that he will ever escape hell will be just for a short period of time, when he will be resurrected from hell and stand before God at the great white throne judgment. Listen at this. The Bible tells us in that, I didn't read the first few verses, but I want to go back and read it. He said, "And I saw a great white throne," verse 11, "with him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great." These are the spiritual dead, those who had died without Christ. He said, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books," plural, "were opened, and another book," singular, "was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works." So that means that the rich man that's in hell today, and every other soul that is in hell, when the day of the great white throne judgment time comes, those souls will be resurrected out of death and hell, and they will stand before holy God, and they will have a brief reprieve before they're all cast into the lake of fire, where they will burn and suffer forever and ever. Do you understand how long forever is? A perpetual time that never, ever ends. Never. It goes on and on and on and on and on. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever really suffered physically? Ever really experienced physical suffering in your body? Have you ever had a kidney stone? If you have, you know what suffering is like. And that's just that's nothing to compare to what we're talking about here. But when I think of suffering, I think of a kidney stone. And I've had several. I still have some in my right kidney right now. And I dread when one of them turns loose, because it's terrible. And it can go on for days. Days, not just minutes or hours. It can go on for days. And you think, "God, can I bear this? Can I continue to bear the weight of this pain in my body?" And then finally, glory to God, when that stone finally moves into your bladder and it gets out of listen, it's heaven. It's heaven. But just think what it would be to be in such a terrible place that this Bible describes, and where you're suffering mentally, emotionally, physically. You say, physically? Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's... Listen, the souls that go to hell, they're going to have some type of body. I don't know what type of body it will be. Just like believers are going to have a body in glory, it will be an eternal body, a glorified body. There's going to be some type, whatever it is, A soul will suffer, whether it is just a soul without anybody at all. The soul will suffer according to the Bible, according to God Almighty in heaven, who wrote this book, who gave us this book. He declares that hell is a place of torment and suffering. So it's not only a prepared place, it is not only a painful place, but hell is a permanent place. You'll never escape that place. You will be there forever and ever and ever. So in closing, I want to ask two questions. The first question I want to direct to the unsaved. Now listen to me. I know there may be, sometimes we have thousands who watch virtually, hundreds, and sometimes 2,000 or 3,000 that watch virtually on some platform that we use. I want to ask everyone in our virtual audience, as well as all of those of you that are here. Now this is to anybody that's here today and not saved. This is my question to you. Do you want to die and go to hell? Just a plain, blunt question. If you're here today lost without Jesus Christ, do you want to die and go to hell? Just as sure as you're sitting where you are and I'm standing here, just as sure as you and I are breathing God's breath of life, when death comes, the soul will leave the body. And if you die in your sin, listen, you will be separated from God forever and ever, and you will open your eyes in this place called hell, just as the rich man did. Believe it or not, just wait. Just keep procrastinating. Keep putting off your salvation. Keep thinking you're going to have another opportunity. Keep thinking you're going to have another Sunday. Keep thinking you're going to have another day or week or month or year to make things right with God. You may not. The Bible declares in the book of James that our life is like a vapor. It's here one moment, it's gone the next. We never know when death will come. You never know when you're going to get up like I did one morning, feeling a little unusual, and walk to the bathroom and lather your face to shave and have a heart attack. You never know. So if you're here today lost without Jesus Christ, do you want to go to hell? Well, I have good news for you. The good news is you don't have to go to hell. The good news is Jesus Christ loves you. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and shed his blood for you. He died for you on Calvary. And what he did on Calvary, God the Father accepted as payment for your sin. And if you will put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life and Savior of your life and your soul, he will forgive you of your sin. Turn from your sin, repent, and believe the gospel, and he will save you. My next question is to the Christians. Believers, do you want people to die and go to hell? I've been sharing a series over the last several Sundays about evangelism and how we need to reach out to those that are lost. How we need to reach out to people and bring them into the fold and bring them into the church. And you're going to hear me continue harping on that week after week after week in some way. And I thank all of you who have been handing out the cards and sending the virtual cards and inviting people. It's evident that you're busy doing that. It's evident that God is using you. And continue to do that, but we must continue doing it because our time is short. As Jesus stated, the fields are white in the harvest, but the workers are few. I pray that God, this has been my prayer this week, God, please, please, dear Lord, help those of us that are believers to realize the urgency of the hour and be willing to go out and to tell everyone that we can about the gospel and share the gospel with them. I believe in hell. I believe there is a literal hell. And I believe that there are souls going there. There are souls already there, but I believe there will be many other souls going there because they didn't intentionally go there, but they just kept putting it off and putting it off. Please don't put it off today. Come to Jesus. while His arms are wide open, His grace is offered, His mercy, forgiveness, His love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life.